Now let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac weighing heavily on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue and ready for the play. And boom, Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good. The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liquor, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
Gets it to Towns, lets it fly from deep. Oh! Oh my goodness! Cats land on their feet!
I always thought Staples was a good shooting gym.
To the combo, there he goes!
Okay,
oh.
Against Towns. Ja, three for the lead.
Bingo! Oh my goodness!
Free cheese, baby!
Winning and grinning on the Knicks now.
Porter's gonna add that. Might count if it goes! It goes!
What a night Monday was in the NBA. Nikola Jokic and Markieff Morris were both ejected. Ja Morant was on a trampoline. Luka Doncic dazzled. The Bulls stunned Brooklyn. Carmelo was in his bag. The Bucks, they went to the White House. Steph Curry, he cooked up a fitty piece. So, to quote my friend Kendrick Perkins, let's get it. And we start in the Yay area. Because, you know, guys, that's where I'm from. A little.
Oh, you're just going to start the show quoting Perk?
Yes. And okay. Not you.
Okay.
Ever.
Okay.
I'm Malika Andrews, joined by Brian Windhorst, Richard Jefferson, Kendrick Perkins. Zach Lowe is going to be coming over in a little bit. But Perk, our group text last night, it was popping off. Steph was a bad, bad man. Could you have stopped that?
No, I couldn't have. Right, yeah. I couldn't stop him when I was playing. Oh. I mean, you know, he's
just stop
going.
A runny nose.
at least we're being honest. Let's go to Chase Center. Let's take a look at what Steph Curry and the Warriors did last night when they were taken on the Hawks. Steph Curry, Richard, he came out on fire. He stayed on fire. I don't know if an extinguisher could have stopped him.
No, there's nothing that you can do in these moments. When you really look at the way that Steph moves, the offensive rebounds, you can't guard that because now you're all scrambling to try and find Steph. And he's just so impressive.
This is how he ended the half. He said that this was getting his momentum going after the game. Take a listen to what he said because, boy, he got cooking.
You carry that momentum into the locker room and come out in the third quarter. That's when you kind of start to wait for the avalanche to fall, and it did.
That avalanche came, Richard, and it started in the third quarter.
And it's so funny for a guy like Steph here, when you move him and you're trying to get to his body, there's nothing that you can do because he has such range. Guarding him does not start a three-point line, but this is not good defense because you got to get into his body. At this point in time, he's done everything you can do. You're playing him square. He can go left, right, anything he wants. That's not good defense. You got to do a little bit better job of forcing him somewhere.
So let's take another look at another play because this one I thought was a little bit better defense. You fast forward to the fourth quarter. Is there anything that Cam Reddish could have done here?
No, now this was great defense because you forced him to the tight corner side. This is when Steph is just being Steph and there's no human being that can do or has done what he is doing.
Well, and then there was this shot that iced. It was the icing on the cake.
Yeah, get him his 50 piece. Get him out. Not 51, not 49.
He wanted exactly 50. And then Steve Kerr was like, yep, you're done. We win. You were great. You need to be done here. So here's Steph Curry's crazy shot chart from last night. He made 14 of his 28 shots, including 9 for 19 from three-point range. It was his 35th career game with at least 9 threes. And that is by far. It's stupid. It's by far the most in NBA history. At nearly 4 times more than the next closest player. That's James Harden and Dame Lillard. Both have 9 games like that. And here was Steve Kerr after the game.
You know, I want to say I've never seen anything like it, but I've been watching it for 7 years. It's just incredible to watch.
You know, when he's going, we know it. Dub Nation knows it. And when he's open, feed him.
You ever come out with like a certain number in mind. It's just when you get it going, you just keep going.
Curry three. Oh, man. How tough is that? He is a cold-blooded assassin.
So much energy, you know, around a team. So it was a fun night.
So let me be clear. 33 ain't old, but Steph, who is 33, became the oldest player in NBA history to have a game with 50 points and 10 assists. The previous record was held by Wilt Chamberlain, who did this back in 1968 when he was 31 years old. So it was just an awesome performance, an awesome night all around.
You beat Wilt Chamberlain on something. You have done something.
I mean, that's okay.
Well, he's the all-time leading scorer. I was there in the building when he took over like the Warriors' all-time leading scorer, and Wilt only played there like two seasons.
So anytime you have a night like that, it's pretty good. I was talking to my dad on the drive-in to work today, and he was telling me, you know what? Is anyone having more fun than Andre Iguodala? Like, he's just strolling back, and that whole team looks like it's having fun. So the Golden State Warriors have won five straight, and I want to pull up the receipts. The Perk tweets. Oh. And I'd say that's the real, that's yes. The unfiltered Kendrick Perkins, mm-hmm. But do you ever have a filter, Perk?
No, never.
Yeah,
never.
Okay. Anyways, what did you tweet after the Dubs win last night, Perk?
Oh, I said, Steph gave the Hawks that work tonight, dropping a 50-piece wing dinner, lemon pepper style, because you're in ATL.
Okay.
That dude is a killer. Golden State are letting their play tell us exactly what they're trying to accomplish, and that's bring home another championship. But I'm being back to the bay. Carry on.
So why is that a carry on instead of carry the hell on? Just out of curiosity.
Right, well, space.
Yeah.
Listen. Look, they're 9-1. They have the best record in the NBA. And Steph dropping 50 is nothing new to none of us. Mm-hmm. We already know that he could do that. But when I look at the structure and the culture of that team and what they're doing, I'm like, hold on. Guys are tied on the string. You have the young guys that have bought in into being stars in their role.
Yep.
And Steph Curry, not only forget putting up the points, I'm looking at what he's doing in the other categories, dropping 10 dimes, almost grabbing 7 rebounds a game. Mm. And on top of that, he's actually playing defense this year.
Well, I want to stay with that thought about bringing a championship back to the Bay, because we took a look at the numbers. Shout out to researcher Caesar. And this season, the Warriors are posting numbers similar to when they were actually winning championships in the heart of the Bay in Oakland. Right now, they have the best defense in the league and are 5th in offense. They had a top 3 offense in each of the 5 years they reached the finals and a top 6 defense in 3 of those seasons. So, Richard, Perk, how are they getting it done?
Let's go to the board. I'm so excited. This is my favorite part of the show.
So excited to skip over.
Yeah, I'm so excited. I can't skip. Ultimately, the way they are getting it done, it is just so impressive. Like, there's so much buzz around all the things that the Warriors are doing, because they're doing it on the offensive end. They're doing it on the defensive end. And when the Warriors were at their best, they do it on both ends of the floor, which is unique because they do it with a small ball lineup. So at some point in time, we're going to look at these highlights right here. Ball Perk. Show me how they're doing it on the offensive end.
Well, I wasn't an offensive player, but right here, look, cutting without the ball, moving, it's hard to guard. Look, they're not just running random pick and rolls. Their offense is just so fluent. Everybody is moving, driving and kicking. Guys know where they're supposed to be in
and
their
get
spots.
Open shots. They get open shots because of confusion.
You wanted
Steph.
Me to say it, or you
yeah,
want
no,
to
I'm just backing
ahead.
You up.
No,
I'm
no,
backing
no,
up
no,
your
go
play.
Ahead,
okay, cool.
Yeah,
and then here,
ahead.
This is why you bring Andre Iguodala back, because you brought some adults into play with Steph, and then the growth of the young players. Now, on the defensive end, what are they doing, Perk?
Ooh,
I'll interrupt you again.
They are hugging their opponents like a Richard Jefferson jacket, and that's tight. That is tight. But look, right here. Look, boxes and elbows trapping the baseline. Everybody swarming to the ball. Look, getting down and dirty. Here, right here. Look at the boxes and elbows. No driving gaps. Recovering the shooters. Everybody tied on the string. Here you go. Think you got an isolation? Two guys at the elbow. Draymond Green, don't give up middle. Rule that you don't do. Get deflections out in transition for the a dunk.
So my thing is this, I don't know how he's going to finish it, but ultimately this is what makes the Warriors so beautiful, is that this looks like the 15-16 Warriors pre when Kevin Durant came on and just, you know, wrecked the world, because he was the best player and was probably the best player in the league during that time. But when the Warriors are doing it on both ends of the floor at a top 5 level, and when we saw in the offensive numbers, it's just because they were getting a little lazy, or excuse me, their defensive numbers towards the end of that run, they were just being a little lazy and waiting.
So we're seeing it on the floor, but Wendy, your ears to the ground. What is the buzz around the league about this Warriors team?
So would you believe me if I told you that Steph Curry this year is averaging 5 points, almost 5 points less than he did last year? That his three-point shooting is down?
No.
That his overall shooting is down?
Wow.
The difference is this team is playing so much better. So mm-hmm, we look at them differently. Now, they have benefited from an easy schedule. But when you talk to people out there in the league, what they say is, the last 2 years, obviously, they were spinning in neutral because Clay was hurt and Steph was hurt 2 years ago. But this team got better during that time. Well, you may look at their record and not say they got better, but look at Jordan Poole.
Mm-hmm.
Jordan Poole is a guy they've been developing over the last 2 years so that now when Steph is back, now when Draymond is healthy, that he can come in and contribute and help lift this team up. And let me tell you something else. Whispers going on in the league right now about Klay Thompson. People are watching him. People are talking to people in the Warriors organization. And they say he looks good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, I'm not saying he's coming back and he's going to be shooting 40 points in his first quarter.
Ain't nothing wrong with that wrist, though.
But he looks good working out, and that there is a real confidence in there that, especially by the end of the season, Clay is going to be back.
You know what? I said something before opening night, and I was talking about the Warriors and how they approach the season, even in preseason. And I said, you know what? The way that they're playing in preseason is going to carry over. Because when you're on a contender and you're trying to win a championship, you start to develop habits early, the first day of training camp. And I done been on a few of them, and I could see it. I could feel it. So even though some nights Steph Curry and Draymond Green wasn't playing, we saw Jordan Poole in preseason getting his rhythm. Shout out to Ron Adams. What's wrong with you, bro?
Oh, no, I'm just waiting for you to fit. No,
okay, all right, relax. Shout out to Ron Adams. Shout out
relax.
To Mike
Have
Brown
you seen the buttons
on
for
holding
shirt?
It down, you know, and helping, you know, Steve Kerr with that culture over there.
I just, the reason why I was making this face, will you hush your mouth? The reason why I was making this face is because if you guys thought Steph was hard to guard now, wait till Klay Thompson is back on the court. Do you understand the amount of space that there's two people, in my opinion, in this league that create space in a similar fashion? It is Klay and it is Steph. Like Kevin Durant, obviously, with his height, he doesn't need a ton of space. But those two guys moving around on the floor, because the only person that probably moves as much, maybe not as much as Klay but, or as Steph, but the next person is Klay. So if you add him to the mix at just like 60%,
well,
it's a joke.
At 60%, but we heard Brian Windhorst say that the whisper around the league is he's back with a capital B. So we'll see that play out. Coming up next on NBA Today, things got a little heated in Denver between Nikola Jokic and Markieff Morris. Let's not recreate that now with you two. And Ja Morant and Luka Doncic both went off last night. Which star player is more likely to carry their teams to the Western Conference Finals? Plus, it's time for Big Perks, Big Segment.
Oh,
let's
great.
Get it. Oh, NBA God. Today rolls on after the break.
Hey, it's real.
Very real. Very real.
Now let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac weighing heavily on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue and ready for the play. And boom, Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good. The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liquor, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
Live from Los Angeles, welcome back to NBA Today.
Welcome back to NBA Today. Monday night was fight night in Denver. In the red corner, weighing in at 245 pounds, a 6'9" power forward, Markieff Morris. And in the blue corner, weighing in at 284 pounds,
the
6'11" reigning most valuable player, Nikola Jokic, defending. So here's what went down. We can joke about it because they're on Twitter going back and forth about it, so I feel okay about this.
No,
but in the moment, it was a little scary. It was. This. So Jokic, after getting fouled hard, comes back and body checks Morris over there. And it took Morris a while to get up. He got up here. He went back down to the ground. He was holding his neck. Look at this hit again. A stretcher was actually pulled out onto the floor for him. It took him a while to get up. It was a little bit of a scary moment there, especially knowing his history. So, you know, then you see Jimmy Butler saying, bring yo booty to the back.
But and the Jimmy Butler, and that's the thing, in those moments, I don't know if Jimmy saw everything that happened.
Well, here's Jokic speaking to reporters after the game.
It's a stupid play, you know. I feel bad. I'm not supposed to react that way, but it's in the middle of the game. I got hit. I saw him, but I didn't even I thought it was just gonna be like a take foul, you know. So and he kind of bumped me, and I was like, that was a little bit like he. I think it was a dirty play. And then I just needed to protect myself.
He's moving around, you know, right now in the locker room. But that was a very dangerous. A dirty play. After I watched it on film, it was a take foul. You know, that's how I saw it. And the play, you know, after that, that's just absolutely uncalled for. This whole thing could have been a whole lot uglier if Markieff was actually facing Jokic. You know, the fact that he had his back turned and he made a play like that. The video and picture is worth 1,000 words.
So as you just heard, Jokic spoke to reporters after the game. The Heat, however, did not make any players available to reporters, which is frankly just unacceptable. I'm a huge fan of what the Heat's been doing on the floor this season, but that was disappointing. So instead,
they were by the locker room.
After the dust cleared, everyone took to Twitter to air out their grievances. It started with Markieff's brother Marcus after the game, quote, waited till bro turned his back, shaking my head, noted. And then the Jokic brothers started a Twitter account and responded to Marcus earlier today. You should leave this the way it is instead of publicly threatening our brother. Your brother made a dirty play first. If you want to make a step further, be sure we will be waiting for you. Ooh. Jokic, but they signed it. Then Markieff tweeted back, I love to see the hate. No doubt I took a hard foul, which I always do, but I've never hit a man with his back turned. Luckily, we built different over here. I can take my licks and keep pushing. Joker, one smooth O, LOL. And then in the past 15 minutes, this is the past 15 minutes, the back and forth has continued.
Marcus Morris also responds to Jokic.
You got the right ones. Believe that. The Jokic brothers tweeted back. Don't believe that. I know that.
Okay, we don't need to go through all this is frivolous. Let's get down to what really and truly happened.
There's a lot going there. There is, Richard. But before we get into it, I do want to show you guys this photo from Denver Post photo journalist Aaron Ontiveros. This photo of the Miami Heat players in the doorway. It looked like they were waiting for the Nuggets to maybe enter the locker room. They were, you know, it looked like, you know, they were maybe like, okay, what were we? Are we coming in? Are we not coming in?
Are we looking for you?
Shout out to Andy Ellsberg, the Heat's general manager, blocking the whole team.
A lot of folks thought that was security, not security. So, Perk, you were in your fair share of dust-ups over the course of your career. What's your reaction to this?
I love it. But look, if you're going to dish it out, you got to be able to take it. And for the first time in a long time, I agree with Richard.
Yeah.
I saw his video on Twitter, and he said it. Look, Markieff Morris, he shot the dirty, he instigated it. That was a dirty shot. Jokic just happened to be 275 pounds, so he was able to take it, but he retaliated it. I mean, you know, it's part of it.
Look, this is the definition of don't start none, won't be none. And I've seen it. And look, no, UD hit me up and he was like, Richard, I agree. You should never hit somebody in their back when they're not looking and body checking. At the same point in time, we've seen take a foul. Now, the Miami Heat version of taking a foul might be a forearm chuck.
So this is what you're referring to when you said that because you're just a social media star now, at least according to you, that you posted a cheeky video on Twitter and or on Instagram and then...
It was TikTok.
Sorry, the TikTok. Nah, RJ, I disagree. This is the back and forth you're referring to.
Yes, he says he takes fouls on people like that all the time to stop the break. That's true. But there was a little bit of extra. There was a little bit of forearm shiver, and that's the reigning MVP. Most of the time, if you hit a guy like that, your star player, everyone else comes into defense of that player. Jokic went over the top. He did a little bit, then he did a little bit, and then you guys are sitting there in front of the locker room. Now the Jokic brothers are tweeting. At the end of the day, there was a little bit extra behind the Morris hit. They took the L on the court. They took the L in the fight. Just keep it pushing, and hopefully you can see him in the finals.
Well, luckily, he's okay.
He's okay.
And we can have this kind of discussion, because that was the point where it got a little bit scary. I do want to bring in senior writer Zach Lowe into this discussion. Can you beam in, Zach? Hello. So Jokic's teammate, Zach, they said last night that this was pretty uncharacteristic, is what they said, Zach, of Jokic. So what exactly is Jokic and Morris's history of fouls like this?
First of all, I don't have any brothers. I feel like I need some brothers to stand up for me. I don't think my little sisters are going to be standing up for me like this. Second of all, I can't believe Perk and our TikTok senior citizen, Richard Jefferson, over there. Look, they're absolutely right that Markieff Morris instigated it for the Heat, and I love Eric Spoelstra, but for him to say, oh, that was just a take foul, that wasn't just a take foul.
Thank you.
That was a cheap shot. That was a hard take foul. But you cannot, 285 pounds, you cannot just run into someone with a history of
back. Don't mess with the Bulls unless you want the horns.
And and forearm check them in the back when they're not looking, man. That is not okay. And Jokic has a history, contrary to his teammates said, his temper has always been his biggest enemy. We saw it in the playoffs against the Suns last year. When he gets frustrated after a no call or when the game just isn't going Denver's way, he has a history of slapping people. And sometimes they're innocent little taps, and sometimes, like the one on campaign in the playoffs last year, they are full-on windups that if they hit the wrong target, they're going to do some damage. So I'm going to expect a multi-game suspension here for Jokic, and I think, frankly, it's deserved. I think Markieff will probably get fined because the Morris brothers instigate stuff. You guys are right about that. But there's no place for what Jokic did last night. That was a really dangerous cheap shot. And by the way, in a bizarre way, they're almost lucky that Markieff was hurt enough to stay on the floor, because if he gets up, that is a full-on brawl, and lots of stuff could happen.
Tim Legler and I were actually texting about that exact thing last night. Richard was yanking on my sleeve.
Yeah. Well, the only thing I'm going to say this is that European players, and we can all sit up here and follow this game, European players have a reputation for being soft. This is the reputation, whether it's real or fair or not. So you want to be aggressive. You want to be physical with them. These are all the things that you want to do. And so sometimes they retaliate. And I'm not saying that it's right. What he did was wrong. But at the end of the day, for us to say that this was a general take foul and that Jokic was supposed to go and tap Morris on his shoulders and like, excuse me, I'd like to have words with you. That is not the way this is going to go. These were two men. They got into a tussle.
Right.
One of them won. One of them started.
Right.
The other one finished it. And that was the end of it.
Right. Well, okay. So let's see how it actually is going to go. Because as Zach Lowe mentioned, it's hard to imagine some sort of suspension not being handed down here. So, Brian, what is the expectation on how the league is going to handle it?
Yeah. So the threshold for suspensions in the NBA has increased under Adam Silver. If this was David Stern as the commissioner and Rod Thorne as a czar of discipline, I think he would definitely see a harsh suspension, but that just hasn't been the way Adam Silver has gone. In fact, Kiki Vandeweghe, who was the czar of discipline, left after last season, and he hasn't even been replaced yet. To show you where they are. So Byron Spruell, the VP of operations, will make the ruling on this. But it's kind of similar to a play that happened last year in the playoffs between Patrick Beverley and Chris Paul. You remember that? Chris Paul kind of, you know, talked about something when he walked past, and Chris Paul pushed him in the back. That resulted in a one-game suspension. Now, that wasn't an instigation physically, so that could be a baseline they go back to. I agree with Zach that I do think that because of the force of the play, that maybe they'll look. But, you know, Jokic has avoided suspensions for stuff in the past. So you also may want to send a message to Jokic to knock this off.
Well, I mean, you know, you got to be a pro at this. I would.
At shoving or?
Well, both.
Okay.
And I thought Jokic did a great job in this interview. One thing you have to do, you have to be remorseful. Okay? And look, Zach, nobody is going to have a brawl. Nobody's going to fight. I delivered a lot of hard fouls. And you know what I
came to, Richard.
And you know what I came to the conclusion of is that, listen, a lot of these guys ain't going to bust a grape in the fruit fight and they ain't going to pour milk on cereal. And they ain't gonna listen to it go snap, crackle, or pop. Here we go. Here go prime example. I fouled somebody hard.
And you walked away.
I walked away. Yeah. I took my shove. I knew I was gone.
How much did that cost you?
10K.
Yeah, look.
But I was remorseful. Straight I told him.
Were you really?
He's walking, but that's what I'm saying.
I walked away. I took my shove. I wasn't tripping. Look.
Yeah. But you knew what was coming.
I knew what was coming.
You knew what was coming.
And also, Maxie couldn't shoot free throws. It was actually probably a smart foul.
Shout out to Doc Rivers.
No, but also, that's what when they talk about the NBA being soft, that's part of it. It's like, player, you knew what was coming. Now, all of a sudden, players can do that, and it's like, well, I didn't think he was going to do anything to me.
I will say, though, Perk, that foul might feel a little different nowadays than it did at your, you know, in your playing time. All right, coming up on NBA Today, the Stars were out last night. Melo righted the ship for the Lakers while Ja and Luka showed out. And the Bulls and the Knicks got big wins. But will they be factors in the East? We're going to debate who is a contender and who is a pretender. Plus, even though I lobbied against it, I lost. We turn over the show to Big Perk for his big segment.
Let's get it.
No, Richard, no
we,
one was
we
listening.
Lobbied. Yeah. No one lobbied. We lobbied against it.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
You're watching NBA Today, live from Los Angeles.
They're just debating about their shoes over here. We are in Los Angeles, and you know who else was in Los Angeles? The Hornets and the Lakers last night. And that game, it went to overtime. So, Mello?
Welcome to the first of a five-game homestand here at Staples Center. The Lakers trying to get well. The opponent tonight, Charlotte, they're one of the most exciting teams to watch.
Let it go. It's the metal ball from right in front of the bench. Needing some help. They bomb it. Throw it down. It's a one-point game through two quarters. Again, Rajon all the way. Davey, throw it down. 115-112. Take the foul. Don't give him the three-point attempts to the tie. We're tied at 115. We're going overtime.
So Melo clearly loves playing in Staples Center, and he said as much last night. He's now shooting 57% from the field and 64% from three when playing at home. However, in three road games, he's just not shooting quite the same, not quite as well. His 39 threes this season are tied for the third most in NBA, only behind Steph Curry and Buddy Hield. So back here with Perk. Perk, that's Perk, that's Richard. Richard Perk, Perk Richard. I'll start with you. What do you think, Perk, of Melo's performance last
night? Well, look, my thing with Melo is that they're wasting this. If you would have told me that Melo was going to get out to this hot start, I would have said that the Lakers were going to, you know, be at the top of the Western Conference. The fact that they are hovering around 500 at this moment in time with Melo playing the way that they are. Now, a lot of it is he's stepped up. Melo has stepped up in the absence of THT, of Kendrick Nunn, and all of these guys being hurt. But I think they're wasting these performances. I just don't know how much longer Melo can sustain this because this looks like 08 Melo.
Well, Perk, you tweeted, and I want to get this right. Melo winning sixth man of the year. Go hit different at the end of the season. Carry on.
Yeah.
So do you feel like this is sustainable?
Absolutely. And look, sometimes I said this before the season that he's going to be the fourth option. Well, he's been the third option. And sometimes he's been the first option. He is embracing the moment. And his teammates are saying, you know what? He got it going. Let me get him the ball. Mm-hmm. And the best thing for Melo is when he's on the court with LeBron James and Ray John Rondo. Those guys find him. Look at that stroke.
Rajon Rondo, he was looking good last night until he wasn't on the floor anymore. But you know what? Melo, he was getting after it. So you know what, Perk? Let's get it.
You know what time it is.
It is
time.
Let's get it.
Richard. Hey, Richard, fix your body language.
Let's go.
Let's get it.
What is let's get it, Perk, real quick?
Let's get it. Look, we're giving flowers to all the players that have the winning plays that don't show up in the stat sheet.
The ones that aren't cute.
Yeah, they ain't cute and sassy. The things that I did. Got it in the trenches.
All right.
Not what Richard did.
No, I was
Andre
sexy.
Drummond, was he cute and sassy or was he sexy last night?
Oh, look, taking advantage again. Joel Embiid not out. Look at Andre Drummond being a beast on the glass. He had 25 boards. Look, battling down low with Taj Gibson, setting the tone. Look at Drummond.
Okay, big
look
fella.
At Drummond.
And look, you're right. This is an unsung hero. This is a great pickup, especially with Joel Embiid having a little bit of injury history. You know that he can fill the paint while he's gone.
Keep on with that energy. I'm going to invite you back to
that. Well, let's head out to Juan Toscano defending Bogdanovich.
We talked about Golden State defense. Look at this.
Yeah.
Look at this. Perfect active hands.
Get hungry.
Getting into him. Getting on the ground, showing the
tag. 10 toes down.
Yeah. He got a tech, but who gives a damn? This is what coaches love.
Yeah.
This is what coaches love. If Steve Kerr was a real one, he'll pay his technical fine.
Uh-huh. Take that technical.
Yeah.
Are you offering to pay it?
No, not at all. Okay,
it wasn't that dirty. It wasn't that not cute. All right, next up, Blake Griffin against the Raptors.
Look at this. Is he going to get dirty?
Yes, he. And he's been, he's been doing this all season long. He knows his role. I love this out of Blake Griffin. Look, first to the floor.
Here we go.
To the floor.
This is a man that wants to win a championship.
You don't usually see this out of light-skinned brothers. You usually see this out of dark-skinned brothers, but I love what he's doing.
We get after it sometimes.
Yeah, yeah. No, it's good.
No, I agree. Light-skinned dudes don't typically do that. I only dive in fourth quarters in playoffs.
To the other side of the ball, Scottie Barnes defending Kevin Durant.
Ooh, my rookie of the year. My rookie of the year candidate. Ooh. Give me that, KD.
That was grown.
And I'm going coast to coast, little light bunnies. A little Richard Jefferson style.
Yeah, look at that. What'd you say? Light-skinned dudes don't know anything like that.
And look, the disrespect to James Harden. You know better, right? You're not supposed to leave strong side corner.
James hasn't found his stride yet, but James is going to find it. I believe in it.
All right.
Oh, you do?
Well, that was a lot of getting dirty and not sassy and cute and sweet and all that. But who was the not sassiest, dirtiest, who won the let's get it for you this week? Who got after it the most?
I got to go with Andre Drummond.
Okay.
I got to go with Andre Drummond because he's embracing the moment. He's setting the tone. And that wasn't his only game that he's been getting it down and dirty. He's been getting down and dirty the game before that when MB set out where he went and grabbed 15 rebounds so against the Trailblazers. So I'm going to give it to Andre Drummond.
Especially with the responsibility that he has. So you don't get to say it because this is his segment.
Yeah.
All right, coming up on NBA Today, the NBA champs were at the White House yesterday, and Giannis told us what he'll be up to in 2024 alongside Bobby Potis.
I'm running for office 2024.
I like that.
Will be the most handsome president ever.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac, weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue, and ready for the play. And boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
Veterans Day means a lot to me. I've had a lot of family members that have served for our country and continue to figure out ways to sacrifice for our freedom. And I think that they don't get as much credit as they deserve to help keep our country safe, keep our country free. So I just want to say thank you.
NBA champion Milwaukee Bucks were honored with a visit to the White House on Monday. Whoa. And they had some fun on social media. They made some TikTok dances, gifted the president with some Bucks swag and a jersey and some shoes. But more importantly, they took some epic selfies. Giannis and the team loved being there. So here's Tim Bontemps with more.
I'm grateful for this opportunity. This is one of those amazing gifts that we get to experience coming to the White House and meeting the President of the United States.
While everyone at the White House Monday was waiting to hear from two-time MVP Giannis Antetokounmpo, President Biden was playing hometown politics, thanks to the presence of Delaware native Dante DiVincenzo.
In 2015, he was the Delaware High School Boys Basketball Player of the Year.
While DiVincenzo's story began just up the East Coast, Antetokounmpo's began across the Atlantic Ocean. A career that started with him sharing shoes with his brothers and playing in the Greek lower divisions has progressed to him taking center stage alongside the American president.
With hard work, with sacrifices, if you dedicate yourself and waking up every single day and try to get better in anything you do, in anything you love, and believing in your dreams, you can accomplish great things in life. And man, as I said, I've done that my whole life. And I'm in the White House, and this is awesome.
The Bucks took advantage of their trip here to do more than just celebrate. Several players met with Biden domestic policy advisor Susan Rice to discuss criminal justice reform, police reform, and voting rights. Drew Holiday told me it was a great conversation. As he put it, one of the biggest things for us is just to be heard. At the White House, Tim Bontemps, ESPN.
You can see the Bucks in their first game of our Friday night ESPN doubleheader. Milwaukee is in Boston to take on Jason Tatum and the Celtics at 7:30 Eastern. And then Steph and the Warriors host the Bulls. Our coverage starts with NBA Countdown at 7 o'clock Eastern. So let's get to the game of the night. It was the Timberwolves, and it was the Grizzlies. And it went down, Richard Jefferson.
Yes, it did. Look, Ja Morant has been so impressive all season long.
Oh,
a lot of people have been talking about MVP.
Look at the time on the clock.
He is just taking his team where they need to go. Just competitive, doing all the little things. Look at the deep
all the little
three.
Things, all the big things.
Hey, is that the truth? And it's been so impressive. But here, watch this. Even this was great defense. Three people around him. Bank shot, that was tough, but great defense. They were in a bad spot because there was no room to foul, but a huge shot by Karl Anthony Towns.
It went to overtime, and then everyone else was doing all the things.
Reed gets it to Towns, lets it fly from deep. Oh! Oh my goodness! Oh my goodness! Cats land on their feet, and Towns somehow banks that in.
I'm not going to lie, that was about the time I started to get sleepy. I jumped off the couch for that one. So we head into overtime, and that's when D'Anthony Melton, I mean, look at this. Look at this.
You got it's impressive, mainly because it's like, look, everyone just has to continue doing their job. There's somebody's going to step up and make a shot, make a play. You see offensive rebounding, getting a putback. That was the difference in the game, that grit and grind by who? The Memphis Grizzlies.
Man, don't hit me like that.
Oh, here we go. All right.
It was an absolutely incredible game last night. We had a little fun with Perk's tweets earlier in the show. But, I mean, Zach Lowe was not to be outdone. What did you tweet during the Grizzlies-Timberwolves game last night?
Well, people joke that a game is drunk when it gets out of control. And by the time Karl Anthony Towns made that buzzer beater, Grizzlies got drunk about 30 minutes ago and is now stumbling around the street outside the bar singing at the top of its lungs. Like, there's drunk, and then there's, like, really drunk when you're about to do some regrettable behavior. That's where that game was. People asked me to describe that game last night when I was tweeting. I felt like Stefan from Saturday Night Live. Like, this is the game that has everything. It has 8-second violations, 5-second violations.
I get none of his references.
John Morant dunking, John Morant blocking shots.
Zach, I have a question.
Oh, then you guys need to watch more SNL.
Zach, I have a question. Were you drunk when you were tweeting this?
Don't answer that, Zach. Don't answer that, Zach.
Give me a little credit.
Don't answer that. We talked so much, though. Not about Zach's drinking, but about Ja's offensive game. But what did you see from him on the defensive side of the ball? Zach, I want to start with you.
Yeah, this is the reason I love Ja Morant. He's not just a scorer. He's not just a flashy playmaker. The guy will do whatever it takes to win games. And he had like 4 or 5 instances last night. Remember, we're talking about a little point guard of, you know what? I'm the nearest defender at the rim. I'm going to give it a shot. You don't see a lot of point guards making plays like that. Here it is again. That's Karl Anthony Towns coming at him. You know what? I did just enough to make him throw up a tough shot, and he missed it. He had a block late in the game. Again, this is like a 6'2 point guard saying, you know what? I can provide a little extra on defense. That's the kind of thing you might not notice it, but it's why teammates look at him and are like, you know what? I want to play hard for that guy because he's bringing it in lots of different ways that maybe aren't so flashy.
Well, Perk might not get your references, but he did tweet that Ja will be the most improved player this year, so he's clearly seeing what you're seeing. What part of his game has improved the most to you, Perk?
When you look at his jump shot, right? I mean, we already knew how athletic he was. We already knew his passing ability and the court vision that he had. We knew that he could finish at the basket like a Kyrie Irving. But now he's making his three-point shots, and he's shooting them with deep range. So that goes to show me he was in the lab this summer. That's what I'm impressed by.
No, I completely agree. When you watch Ja, he is a guy that he does it on both ends of the floor. He is a guy that wants to win, and he will do anything to win. Doesn't matter if it's defense, offense, creating, finishing. He does a little bit of everything for his team.
Brian, the Timberwolves, they were in it until the very end. But another day, another loss, 5 in a row for Minnesota. What's the biggest issue with them right now?
They are the worst team in the league in the fourth quarter, and it's not even close. They're the third worst defensive team in the fourth quarter. They're the second worst offensive team in the fourth quarter. Karl Towns plus minus in the fourth quarter is minus 53. And when I talk to scouts about this, what they're saying is, even though Karl Towns is having a great offensive season, Teams are throwing double teams at him, and the Wolves do not know how to get around it. They don't have a guy who can get him the ball. He gets frustrated, and you can see it in the way they've gone on this losing streak. They just can't be successful when you can't compete in the fourth quarter of these games.
Oh, and you can see his frustration coming through in some of his post-game comments as well. We'll see if they're going to be able to figure it out, because they have some talent between Anthony Edwards, Karl Anthony Towns, some of their role players, but it just hasn't been coming to fruition, coming together for them. All right, coming up on NBA Today, the league has seen some unlikely teams sitting at the top of their conferences. Not the Timberwolves, but they're getting there. They're working on it.
No, they're not.
We will discuss if they are a contender or a pretender. Be nice, Richard. Keep it locked.
I'm speaking the truth.
Live from Los Angeles, welcome back to NBA Today.
Let's go coast to coast on last night's action. The Mavs won their third straight, and Luka had his 131st game, 131st, with 20 points, 5 rebounds, 5 assists to pass Dirk Nowitzki for most such games in Mavs history. Perk, Mavs, they for real?
Yeah, they for real to get into the playoffs again, but I love how Jason Kidd have them playing unselfish basketball, and they actually playing defense this year.
All right, well, the Bulls, they beat the Nets by 23 after a 42-17 fourth quarter. It's the second time this season they outscored a team by 25 points or more in the fourth. Richard, more about the Bulls or more about the Nets?
I think this is more about the Bulls. They have been playing consistently, and at the beginning of that stretch, everyone was saying, oh, well, they played a softer schedule. Well, their schedule has gotten tougher, and they've played better.
Well, the Knicks beat the Sixers without Joel Embiid. Andre Drummond starting for him and became the first 76er with 25 rebounds. 25 in a game since Charles Barkley in 1987, but Julius Randle's 31-point double-double was just a little too much to overcome. So, Perk, your guy Drummond, he showed out?
Yeah, he did, and I'm happy for him. And Philly is going to need him to show out because they don't know if Joel Embiid is going to be healthy, and they need him to come in and be able to contribute and produce off the bench when Embiid gets back.
All right, so let's stick with these teams then. I want to play a little game. We're going to call it contender or pretender. So I'm going to name a team, and you guys are going to tell me if they're truly contenders or pretenders. Key detail here, we define a contender team for the purpose of this as a team that will make it to the conference finals. Are you ready?
Perk? You hear that, Perk?
Are you ready?
Yes.
All right, let's get it. The Knicks, Richard. Contender, pretender.
Pretender. I'm going to get so much hate. Pretender.
Okay. Perk?
Contender. Like, okay. They can make it to the Eastern Conference finals.
All okay, right. Well, they got to win the first round
yeah,
first.
But that'd be that. Right.
Zach, contender, pretender. The Knicks.
Pretender, only because it's too early to say that the Bucks and the Nets are truly threatened by any of these teams yet. So, pretender.
Okay, because it's early. And Brian?
You got to win 8 playoff games to get to the conference finals. I think they're a pretender because they don't have two guys they can rely on to score in tough playoff games.
All right, Perk, the odd man out on this one.
Let's go to the Bulls.
All right, well, we'll start with you then on the Bulls. Contender or pretender, Perk?
Pretender. I mean, you're talking about a team that just got, you know, just came together. These guys haven't been to the playoffs yet, so, I mean, I need to see more.
DeMar DeRozan's been showing out there, Richard.
Yeah, no, he's been so impressive. And they have two guys that they can go to late in game to score buckets. You got Zach LaVine and DeMar DeRozan. That's something that they're, and I'm going to say they're a contender.
Okay, the Bulls are a contender, according to Richard. Zach, what do you think?
I'm going contender kind of unwillingly, but I think I have to. I think their ceiling is a little higher than New York's. Look, healthy Brooklyn, we'll see what happens with Kyrie. Healthy Milwaukee, head and shoulders above everyone else. But the door is open now for the seedings to be a little crazy where they're not 1 and 2. Maybe they have to play each other. Who knows what happens?
Perk shaking his head. Brian, what do you
think? Contender for two reasons. One, uncertainty in other places in the East like Philly and Brooklyn. And they're defending. I didn't think they'd be a good defensive team. They're a top 10-12 defensive team. They keep that up, they could win 8 playoff games.
This is contradiction at its finest.
Yes, it is.
All right, well then let's go to the West then. Brian, Mavs, contender, pretender.
Pretender, I don't believe in Porzingis. They need Porzingis to win 8 playoff games.
Zach, Mavs.
Contender only because there's a window in the West with Jamal Murray and Kawhi hurt for now. Luka's unbelievable. The Mavs are 7-3 with a minus 23 scoring margin, though. That's kind of hard to do. I don't know how to read that.
All right, Richard?
I think they are pretenders at this point in time, but I hold the right to change my
opinion. Okay.
Come on, man.
All right, Perk, your mouth. What do you think?
Pretenders. I don't trust Porzingis.
All right, I thought you were going to say I don't trust Richard. The Grizzlies, Brian? Contender? Pretender?
Pretender, I mean, again, they got to have two guys who can score. I just think in a playoff setting, they can make it too hard for Ja. Jaren Jackson hasn't done it this year.
Richard?
I'm going to say pretender also. Basically, that's what one of the reasons why I like Chicago is they have two high-level scoring guys. Memphis only has one. The Knicks only have one. And so do the Grizzlies.
Zach?
Pretender, just a little early. The Grizzlies are still pretty darn young. Love the Grizz, but it's a little early. Pretender.
All right, Perk, shaking your head.
I mean, because it's crazy to me. We're talking about the Knicks and the Grizzlies, two teams that actually went to the playoffs last year. And by the way, Memphis is playing well, and they don't have Dylan Brooks, so they do have another guy that could go out there and get their money.
Well, I guess we're giving Perk and Richard the right to change, shake, see how this plays out a little bit. Brian, you don't get that right. Tomorrow on our NBA doubleheader, it tips off with the top picks from this year's draft. Cade Cunningham and the Pistons take on Jalen Green and the Rockets at 7:30 Eastern, 6:30 Central. And then it's the Heat versus the Lakers. Our coverage starts with NBA Countdown at 7 Eastern. More NBA Today coming up.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Coming up at 5 Eastern on ESPN, women's college basketball is back. The number one ranked South Carolina goes against number 5 NC State. And tomorrow on NBA Today, we have a special day. Did you guys know?
Yeah, Richard is not going to be
Big Perk's got a big birthday coming up.
Oh, wow.
Did you know that?
Sadly, we got to get two cakes.
That.
One for Perk and one for
that,
everyone else.
NFL Live is next.
We have to get two different cakes.
Rude.
He gets
Richard.
His own cake. Like, it's rude.
It's rude that he gets his own.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.